T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. We got a lot to do with this hour. We're going to explore how we feel about Jalen Hurts now after that awful performance.
Yeah.
This is an all Jalen rip day.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk later in the hour about an abysmal performance throughout the weekend by the NFL officials. Those guys stink. All of them. The ones yesterday, the Eagles game, awful. They allowed the Bengals to score a touchdown after the whistle.
I know. That was unbelievable.
And at the end of the Cowboys game, they got pelted with debris.
And Dak
did
Prescott
not give them one last play.
Was in favor of it.
Yeah. And Dak Prescott came out and thought it was a good idea to pelt the refs with debris.
He thought it was at him.
Yeah.
Should've
initially,
been.
They
Idiots.
Thought it was at them because they deserved it. Yeah. But then they found out the refs were even worse than they were. Here to analyze all that we saw is the WIP football reporter, Elliot Sharprox. Al?
And despite the loss, he's still sponsored by your local Tri-State Toyota dealers. Dear driver, hurry and save Toyota. Let's go places.
Elliot, how bad a loss was that for the Eagles organization?
It was the worst possible loss they could have had. All they had to do, in my opinion, was go down to Tampa and just not get blown out, right? Be competitive, do some stuff on offense. The defense just had to be okay. If you go down to Tampa and you're competitive, I think it backed up really the whole second half of the season in that playoff run. And I don't think yesterday completely, diminishes all they accomplished this year. But for them to go down and be completely uncompetitive, for them to be down 31-0, it's the one situation they had to avoid. Jalen Hurts had the one type of game he had to avoid. But they completely went down there and blew it. And because of it, there's going to be a lot of questions this offseason there probably wouldn't have been otherwise.
Let me throw a few of them out there. I'll start with Sirianni. What brilliant idea was it to give the greatest quarterback of all time the ball against a slow-starting, inept defense to start the biggest game of the year? Elliot, whose idea was that, and why didn't somebody tell him not to do that?
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up because I think that's a completely underrated mistake that he made yesterday. I thought it was a terrible idea to give Brady the ball first. And he did the same thing. He's done it all season, right? So I think it's analytics saying that if you want the ball to start the third quarter. But it was so – I thought yesterday it was so important for them to get the ball first. Now, granted, the offense played terrible. But ideally, they would have gotten the ball first, killed some time off the clock, controlled the game, and slowed down the atmosphere there, right? I think yesterday you saw this team was overmatched by the moment. I think Jalen Hurts looked overmatched by the moment. And I think part of that was Tampa went right down the field and took a lead, right? And so
all
immediately
right, hold on.
Your offense feels
that's
the pressure.
That's my next question. 1 to 10, how shocked were you, Elliot, that Brady got the ball and went right down the field and it was 7-0? How shocked? 1 being not much and 10 being a lot.
I mean, can I say like minus 10? Like,
yes, minus 10 is the correct answer. Minus 10.
Right.
I mean, they gave him a 7-0 lead. Why?
So I went back this morning and I looked. And all year, if you look at Gannon's defenses to start games, like routinely on the first possession and the first like three possessions, he's giving up touchdowns. You know, 2 touchdowns the last time they played Tampa Bay, 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs on the first 3 possessions, 2 touchdowns against the Cowboys back in Dallas. Like, so I understand the advantage of getting the ball start the third. I'm not diminishing that. But you see that the defense is routinely getting torched to start these games. And for a team that struggles to pass, if you're giving the defense, if you're giving the other team a lead, it completely, throws off the game plan. So, yeah, I think kicking off the start was a massive mistake by Sirianni.
All right, Elliot, this is the most important question I'll ask during this interview. Jonathan Gannon this week will have two head coaching job interviews, one in Denver and one in Minnesota. Will he get a head coaching job? Please say yes.
No, I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job. I think the fact that he's getting these interviews, if you look, he has ties to both of the organizations that are interviewing him. I think he's probably getting his name in the head coaching cycle. I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job. And I also don't think he's going to get fired by the Eagles. I don't think he should get fired. There's no question he has to be better next year than he was this year. But no, I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job.
All right. That was not the answer any of us hoped we would hear. So let me move on. Let me move on to the offense. There's two Jalens we have to deal with. I'll start with Jalen Reagor. I'm going to tell you, the time I lost it the most in the whole game, Elliot, was when they're down 17 already, and they're in Tampa territory finally, and it's 4th and 10, and they dial up Reagor. They dial up Reagor, not Smith. They dial up Reagor, and I don't understand it. Can you help us understand this obsession with keeping Reagor involved when he never produces anything?
Yeah, so I think the flaw in that play was not just making sure the ball goes to Devontae, right? I would bet anything, and I would like to ask Keanu this yesterday, but I would bet anything that he did not dial up a play to go to Reagor, right? They don't scheme for Reagor. They don't, throughout the week, plan to get him the ball. It just happens if other routes are covered. But the flaw, to your point, is they did not get Devontae involved early enough. Like, in that spot, Reagor probably shouldn't be on the field as an option.
Yes,
but, like,
exactly.
You have to make sure... Right, you have to make sure that you are able to get the ball to Devontae or Goddard. This is the first week of the playoffs, right? This isn't week three. At this point, you should be able to scheme up plays where you know Devontae is going to be an option. And yesterday, that didn't happen pretty much at all until the fourth quarter. And because of the failure of it, then you're throwing to Reagor in such a huge spot.
No, but Elliot, all right, I'm going to will you to buy that. All right, maybe they did dial it up for him, although I looked at that play 10 times, and it looked like he was the first guy I looked at. All right, I don't think he looked off. Mm-hmm. I think he went right to him. But doesn't it prove they're still trying to force Reagor with all the punt returns that he's butchering? He had one good one yesterday. It was meaningless. But he muffed one that cost him a touchdown. They keep putting him out there. Do you believe, you probably saw the Marcus Hayes story that the front office is not meddling this year. Do you honestly think it's Sirianni's idea to use this guy so much?
So I have a lot of thoughts on that. First, I do think that ultimately the reason that Reagor's out there as much is the front office's fault. Like, they're the reason he's out there, but I don't think it's meddling. I think it's their inability to add anything of value to the receiver position, right? They have two good receivers and really only like one and a half. Quez Watkins is decent, but he's been pretty inconsistent, right? So outside of that, John Hightower, a miss. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, a miss. Greg Ward, nice player, but was hurt yesterday, right? Like, you can go down the line. They've been unable to add anything of value in free agency at the position. So I agree, and I do think that, like, he is out there because he's a first-round pick, but he's also out there because they have nobody else put out there. If you want to say just throw out a warm body there, I don't even completely disagree with you, but ultimately they're going to put the best – who they feel the best player that are out there. And unfortunately, like, there's an argument that it might be Reagor, and
no,
that's
it is
a
not.
Direct shot. But that's a direct fault of the front office.
There is no argument that Reagor is a viable option in my eyes. All right, finally, Elliot, I saved the toughest question for last. So Hurts, who we were told no moment was too big for, looked like the moment was too big for him. He had an awful game. Now, yeah. What are the Eagles supposed to think about the quarterback position?
So my biggest takeaway by far from yesterday is we are fooling ourselves if we don't think the Eagles are going to try to trade for a quarterback this offseason. Like, all this talk about, oh, maybe they'll use these picks on a linebacker. Like, wow, what if they added a safety, right? Who are we kidding? Like, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman were watching that game yesterday and saying they might never have three first-round picks in the first round again, right? They might never have three top 20 picks in the same offseason again. This is a franchise. It's an owner and a GM that has always prioritized the quarterback position. If we think they are going to use this huge group of assets on anything other than trying to get a quarterback, we're fooling ourselves. Now, they might not get one, right? They might not be able to get Deshaun Watson. They might not be able to get Russell Wilson. But they are going to use those picks to try to do it. If they don't, Jalen will be back. But if they're able to, I absolutely believe they'll pull the trigger on trying to get one of these quarterbacks.
Good stuff. Sounds like a very intriguing offseason, Elliot. Great job this year. Appreciate your help with all these great stories. Thanks, buddy.
Yep, appreciate it.
Elliot Shaw Parks. All right, so Al, one other thing, since he mentioned analytics.
Mm-hmm.
This was a moment that sent a chill through me. So I'm watching the post game. The minute the game ends, I go over because I like to see where the players walk down the tunnel.
That's okay. The best part after a big loss.
And they're walking down the tunnel, and I'm waiting for Lurie because he's late.
Okay.
A lot of I want to see Lurie. I want to see. I try to read his expression. You know, I get nothing else going on okay. in my life. I want to watch the Cowboys game, but I'm not missing this. I need to see it live. And finally, Lurie comes down. He's in a big there's a whole bunch of people with suits.
Okay.
I know
Entourage.
Don Smolensky is there. A lot of other suits types are mm-hmm. there. I mean, in lockstep, one step behind him, mm-hmm. the whole way in, is his son, Julian,
mm-hmm.
the analytics maestro.
The future.
Made me nervous. I felt a chill.
That's the future of the team.
I felt a chill.
That's the owner.
I went, uh-oh, that's Lurie. Not thrilled with him.
No.
The kid behind him with all the numbers, not good. That's all I'm saying.
He's going to be running the team.
Yeah. I know he is.
For sure.
The bad news is he's going to be running the team. The good news is I'll be retired by then.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Thank you. Dennis is on a live from Mount Laurel. Hi, Dennis.
Radio, man. I got a couple words for you from one of your cockroach listeners.
Yeah.
Bad. Bad. Real bad, Angelo.
It was
Lamont
bad.
Is upset.
It was. Now, Lamont is not going to call today because he's a Cowboy fan,
yes.
a.k.a. a cockroach,
yeah,
and he's
exactly.
got nothing to crow about. But, Dennis. That was awful. Awful.
I lost $50. Okay, I donated it. But it was over after the first series. Take the ball and don't give it to number 12. What's so hard about that?
All right, wait a minute. You got 8.5 points, Dennis. What did you get in that bet?
Oh, no, I bet the money line.
You bet that the Eagles would win straight up?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, whoever took that bet was rubbing their heads yes. there. Going, well, here's a sucker.
There'll be a lot of you. That line moved
line?
To that line moved to 7. I mean, there was a lot of
people.
Well,
because Fournette was going to
yeah.
be out, and you thought that was
yeah.
going to be a big deal.
Oh, that was
clearly
a big
wasn't.
Deal. I forgot he was out.
They didn't appear to have a problem running the ball at all.
Not right, a problem at all. They could have taken a guy out of the stands, and he would have run for 50
they,
yards.
They did.
Yes, at one point they were missing two of their offensive linemen, their
yeah.
top two running backs, their top two wide receivers.
And what happened?
Nada.
Nothing.
I doubled down my bet during the game.
What
yeah.
do you mean you doubled down?
On the Eagles.
On the Eagles.
Points,
you doubled down the Eagles.
Well, it looked like the two linemen were going to
yeah,
be
Yeah, the
out,
one guy was dragging
like,
his leg.
They're already getting to Brady. I'm like, you know what? They're going to lose, but they're not going to lose by four.
Al.
They went to 14 and a half.
P.T. Barnum, I'm quoting him. There's a sucker born every minute. And Al, you were born twice yesterday because
yeah,
you doubled down.
It's a circus, Al.
Dennis, Dennis, who are you blaming the most?
Oh, well, you've got to start with the head coach because he's responsible for everything. But that defensive coordinator,
Jonathan,
I mean, can he please get a head coach somewhere? I'll take him to the airport.
Sunglasses
Dennis,
look good, though.
Dennis, they wanted him to face Brady to start okay. the biggest game of the year. How is that intelligent?
Well, it's not. And the other thing is, you know, Bill Belichick lost by, 30 points?
Yeah, he got embarrassed.
Well, that was
you know, I've learned
roadkill.
Something about Belichick, Al. Correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of Belichick's success in that the dynasty of the Patriots was attributable to number 12, Tom Brady.
Yeah, Brady's 5-0 in the playoffs without Belichick.
This is why I come in, Jonesy, because
well,
others,
that's a level of
others do
yeah.
not have that level of insight.
You know, if Brady did move on, though, there'd be a lot of people that would have thought that it was a lot of Belichick.
I know they would.
And would not have given Brady enough credit.
All right. Belichick, not good before Brady, amazing with Brady, not good without Brady. You do the math. Kind of, Al, it's kind of aiming toward it was more Brady than it was Belichick.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you what. That's for sure. All right, let me get up here real quick. Levert. Hi, Levert. Levert.
Yo, what's up, Angelo? How
what's
you doing,
going man? On? You just left your car. I heard the noise.
Yeah, I did. You're correct.
All right, Levert. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe you should drive away from Philadelphia and find the city with a better football team. Did you see that yesterday?
It was a mess, a total dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Man, listen, I got a new name for Rager.
What do you got?
Jail Rager. He is now the Muffin Man.
The Muffin.
Muffin Man, Muffin Man. If anybody can muff it up, he can.
Wow.
It was a good call by Merrill. He muffed it.
Levert, seriously, yes, could you explain to me why he's still on this team?
I have no idea. In my 60-something odd years, I have not seen a player that the fan base disdains more than this guy.
I mean, honestly, when he was back there before that punt, did you think he was going to do something magical with it?
I thought he was going to do just what he did.
Levert, thank you for the call. Let's go back to that moment because Merrill was hoping for a miracle.
Yeah.
He got the opposite. Yeah. Listen to this.
It would be great if Rager could do something right here. Anything to spark this team. They need a big play. The punt is away. Rager. Drops it. He muffs it. Fight for the football. I think the Bucks have it. He muffed it. Well, he did something. He muffed it. Scotty Miller recovers it.
That is such a great call.
Can I tell you what Wechter texted me at that point? It was a great line. Rager Mortis is settling in.
No, let me tell you. I don't even think Joe knows this, all right? So Joe, before we put guests on, has an exchange of comments with him. And he had Jimmy Kempski on. And he used his term, rigor mortis.
Yes.
And Joe was mentioned today in the Jimmy Kempski Award column.
It should have been the headline, don't you think?
It should have been, yes.
Rigor mortis.
It should be the headline. It tells the whole story.
That is the word of the week, rigor mortis. And if you read Jimmy Kempski's column in Philly Voice, Joe Wechter gets a nod in the column.
Funny guy.
Rigor mortis, Sal. Has set in. 215. We're only laughing, ladies and gentlemen, because we stopped crying about 6:30.
Bunch of stiffs.
But Jalen Rager is in our crosshairs. Is anybody listening right now that's a huge fan of his?
His dad's not even listening.
215-592-9490. If we come back, more serious situation. Now what do you do at quarterback? That's next. WIP Sports Time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
7-7. All right, 7:24 is your time. We have a question of the day. Whenever a game like yesterday happens, it is essential that Philadelphia assigns blame. Ava Gray, what is our question?
Well, it's brought to you by Armin Chevrolet of Ardmore. Armin carries your easy credit. Armin Chevrolet is your easy credit headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com. Click on the easy credit button. It's easy at Armin Chevrolet. Who do you blame for yesterday's loss to Tampa? 38% Nick Sirianni.
Woo!
34% Jalen Hurts.
Whoa!
Jonathan Gannon, 15%. Jalen Rager, 13%.
All right, that's none amazing. Of my emailers. I have 100 emailers saying they want Rager out of town.
If
Rager's walking down the street today, he has to worry that he won't get kidnapped and removed from the city limits.
I feel like it's been that way, though. Yeah. Like, people have not wanted, seeing Rager get the ball the way that he did yesterday just completely made people furious that they're on Twitter. You should have seen it.
All right, at 8 o'clock, Ray Didich is going to come out, but I want to feature a little bit of what he said. He was brilliant after the game. I mean brilliant. And he was talking about what it would have taken for the Eagles to upset Tom Brady at Tampa. Now, me personally, I'll pick them to win the Eagles. Rhea picked the Eagles to win. I did not think there was any chance. I said 37-17.
Correct,
Tampa,
you did.
Because I had no faith in Gannon. I even went on the pregame show and I ruined their party. And I said, well, they're not going to win.
Yeah. I think I said it last Tuesday.
I think you said it on Tuesday.
When it was 9.5.
Well, anyway, Ray Dittinger explained what it would have taken and what didn't happen. Listen.
For the Eagles to win this game, they would have had to play their best game. And they would have had to play a complete game for 60 minutes. They would have had to win in all three phases, win offense, defense, and special teams. They did none of that. And then they compounded it by coaching poorly. You're not going to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doing what they did. I couldn't believe what I was seeing in terms of their offensive play calling and their play selection early in the game. I couldn't understand it. I was logging it throughout the whole game. They didn't throw a ball to Devontae Smith until they were down 17-0. I mean, and every time you line up, it's right there. So what do you take away from it? Is there great elation that you took this team and you made the playoffs in the first year of the head coach? And yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. They got here. But what happened out there today sort of points to a bigger truth. And the bigger truth is how far away you are from being able to play with these teams.
Brilliant. He'll be on at 8 o'clock.
He was angry. It was like seething.
He was breaking down what Todd Bowles does because he's done it. It's a cover three.
Why isn't he a head coach?
And he's done it.
He was.
He was awful.
I know. It's surprising, right?
But
everybody's awful with the Jets.
He's a defensive strategist, but everyone knows what he does. And the Eagles absolutely did nothing to counteract.
Appeared surprised by it.
They appeared surprised by somebody who's been in the league 20 years doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Awful job by the coaches. But anyway, let's get to, I think, what always is the focal point of Philadelphia. That's the performance of the quarterback. If Jalen Hurts doesn't have a great arm, which I think is the consensus, if Jalen Hurts is not as accurate as you like him to be, well, then he's got to make up for it not only with his running skills, but also with the intangibles, his ability to lead, his ability to perform at his best in the biggest moments, those kind of things. Yep. That was his first real test yesterday of that. And I don't think he could have flunked it any more than he did.
No.
He was terrible.
He failed.
His accuracy was awful. The ball was floating all over the stadium. I guess he wasn't able to adjust to the wind. It was a windy day. He was bad, right?
He was.
He threw an interception on a play that should have been a touchdown. He waited too long to throw it, the ball to Smith. He didn't throw to Smith until middle of the second quarter. Well, how dumb is that? How dumb is his coach to dial up Rake before he dials up Smith? And then he harps on the first half, it's all Goddard.
Oh, Goddard.
Second half, after the game's out of range, then he's going Smith. Mix it up. What are you doing? But all that having been said, Jalen Hurts laid a monster egg on the field in Tampa. And later, he sounded more like the composed Hurts we thought he would be on the field. Here's where he wants everybody to know. That's not him, and that's not the Eagles.
I think for us as a football team, this game does not define us. It does not define who we are. It does not define us at all. And we know all the different things that we've overcome. We know the environment that we built as a football team and the organization. With the youth we've had and which I've talked about all year. And I know as a football team, we'll be back.
I'm not even sure you'll be back.
Yeah,
he left open all the questions.
I don't know. Now, see, that sounds like a guy that knows what he's doing. Mm. But he didn't play like one.
No,
he did not play with any composure or confidence.
And the part that he's missing is they will be defined by that game until they prove otherwise.
It has to
next
be, right?
Next year and then into the playoffs the following year if they're lucky enough to be there.
Aren't you always defined by the biggest games and how you perform?
You are.
That was a disaster.
He rarely says the wrong thing. I think he's an outstanding speaker. I enjoy listening to him, but he had it wrong there.
Sign man John is checking in. Hi, John.
Good morning. I can make an argument that the player of the game actually for the Eagles was Rager.
What?
You know, he's the only player that actually gave us what we expected from him yesterday.
All right. He is consistent.
All right. But, John, why is it, if we all know he's going to fail, why do they keep featuring him?
I don't know. You got to ask Sirianni. I don't understand it. I mean, they went to him in the Giants game. The biggest moments, it seems we're dialing up this kid's number. This never done it. He's never come through. It makes no sense. He's the punt returner. You might as well just put another guy in the line of scrimmage and rush 11 guys and let the ball bounce wherever it goes. You'd be better off.
Yeah.
And that's not even being an exaggeration. That's actually a truth.
All right, John, before you go any further, I know there are probably people who set their alarm for 7:30 to hear Nick Sirianni. Nick is not on today here. He will be on later in the week.
Yep.
But normally after the last game, the coach does not come on the next morning.
No.
Never do with Doug. No. So just stay tuned for that. We will have him at some point this week, at which point we'll ask these questions and not get the answers you're hoping for. I can assure you of that. Go ahead, John. So, John, what do we do now? What do we do now?
Well, the only thing I will say, the future is another discussion. But, I mean, I think Ray Dittinger, and I think people are being a little dismissive of what we did accomplish this year. It is a first-year coach, basically a first-year quarterback. You made the playoffs. Regardless of who you played, that's an accomplishment. But like I said, you can discuss that another time.
I'm with you.
And Hurts and Sirianni is a total failure. Sirianni, from the beginning of the year, has shown that he's learned from what he's done and he's gotten better. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss him. He had an awful game yesterday, no doubt about it. It's an experience, and I don't like it. People are saying, oh, if we just went there and competed, it would have been so much better. Since when? You go there to win the game. If anything less than that is a failure. Oh, we played tough. We played good. It validates our season. That's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous attitude. It's a loser's attitude. We went there to win and got our asses kicked.
Simon, John, as always, great input from one of the great Eagles fans. Alan's up next in Tampa. Hi, Alan.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Ange?
All right, we are in Tampa. Did you go to the game?
Yeah, I went to the game. It was quite an adventure getting to the game. I decided on Friday. My brother's got a place down here in the Tampa area, and I decided on Friday to come down and go to the game. I couldn't get a flight out of Tampa, so I had to fly into Orlando. So I had a 5:30 flight on Saturday. AM flight. Half hour into the flight, there's a lot of noises coming from the engine. And 10 minutes later, the pilot gets on the intercom and said, we're having engine trouble. We've got to fly back to Philadelphia.
Oh.
I'm not worried about my life. I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get to the game.
No. If I hear engine trouble, I panic. I would have started yelling and screaming right there, Alan. So, but you did get there, though. You came all the way back and got all the way back there.
We got back to Philly. I ended up getting a 9:30 flight to Fort Myers. So my brother, you know, it didn't matter whether he was going to pick me up in Orlando or in Fort Myers. So I was able to get the last ticket on a flight out to Fort Myers. I'll tell you what a mess. And, you know, this is what they gave me. Every time I travel to a game,
Wait. I got a lot of – Alan, how far is Fort Myers from Tampa?
2 hours. Took two hours to get back.
All right, but it took you pretty much all day to take these the bad flight, then the good flight, then and then you go to the game. How much did that cost you to go to the game?
Well, I had to buy my brother's ticket. It was about $1,200 total.
$1,200.
The tickets were $776 for the two tickets, and
all right, how far?
About $500.
How far into the game did you start to feel buyer's remorse?
First quarter.
Yeah. That would have been it for me. You're out $1,200 and all the drama this weekend for an awful football game. Is that right, Alan?
That's correct, Ange.
Are you? I'll be honest with you, though. You're pretty calm. I would be ranting and raving that I got screwed.
Yeah, I'm a little upset, but I'm, you know, my brother's not as much of a loyal fan as I am, and so yeah, I can't really get too excited. I'm hiding in my bedroom here, calling you. So,
all right, when are you coming back, Alan?
I'm coming back tomorrow morning. I'm taking a flight, changed my flight. I'm coming in from Tampa Bay into Philly.
Well, enjoy
PTO day on Tuesday.
Enjoy your brother, at least. At least you're getting to see your brother, Alan. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it. Thank you for the call. I have no financial stake in these games.
No.
None.
Right, right.
I will not be in a good mood for several days because that is what I love. I love the weekend ramping up toward a big Eagles game.
Yeah, everyone.
But I never this weekend felt great because I just knew we were being led to slaughter.
Yes.
And the only thing I didn't expect that happened yesterday was that they would force feed us Jalen Reagor again. That they would dial up a fourth down play to that stiff. That he would be back for all the punts to muff them and screw the game up further. that he wouldn't be in the right spot, that he wouldn't do the right thing. And they're still using him. And that is what is driving me to distraction today. Why do I have to endure Jalen Reagor? How long do we have to put up with Howie's huge mistake?
Not another day.
No?
No.
Jalen Reagor will not play another snap for the Eagles?
He will not.
Al, do you believe Keith Jones?
There's no way he's coming back. It wouldn't be safe.
Rhea Hughes?
Oh, they'll bring him back.
So do I. I'm with Rhea.
He'll be working at Chickie and Pete's.
215-592-9490. You know what else sucked yesterday? The officiating. Yeah. In Tampa and all over the NFL. We got a few of their gems when we come back. Eagles, Shirley's checking in. Adam, Pete, Reggie, Mark, there's room for you. Jump on now. But I only want emotion today. I want frustration. I want anger. I want rage. 215-592-9494. WIP Sports Time, 737. All right, welcome back. We got a lot of stories to cover today. There was one that no one covered all week because the Eagles did not share the information. It involved the best edge rusher on the roster, Josh Sweat.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was dealing with life-threatening situation. Rhea, would you please introduce this Novocure doctor to try to tell us what was going on?
Dr. Brad Bernardini is an orthopedic surgeon with Reconstructive Orthopedics in Medford, Vineland, Pittman. He's the medical director of sports medicine for Virtua Health, as well as the co-director of Virtua Sports Medicine, specializes in shoulder and knee. He's also, and this is pretty cool, a former Division I AA All-American football player at Bucknell.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Good player, too. Yeah. Doctor, thank you for coming on our show this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so, Doc, here's what we know about Josh Sweat, and most of this didn't come out till yesterday. He was dealing with an abdominal issue, and we're trying to figure out what would be an abdominal issue that would lead to what is being described as life-threatening. Burst appendix, aneurysm. Give us your best read on what the heck happened to Josh Sweat.
Well, there's a whole lot of things that can be life-threatening, but not very many can allow you to recover as quickly as he did. So I think the two front runners for the diagnosis would have to be an appendix issue or a gallbladder issue. And I've heard reports that early on that it was said specifically that this was not an appendix issue. Again, we get limited information, and I think that's by design, and I'm not his treating physician. In full transparency, but so if we think this is a gallbladder issue, the gallbladder is this little sack of fluid, basically, that slowly kind of delivers fluid into the GI system and helps with digestion. That can get backed up from something called gallstones. You can get inflammation, infection. If those burst, they can become life-threatening. It's a fairly common procedure to have those removed, and people recover amazingly quickly. A lot of them are done laparoscopically through little poke holes. So I think if I had to bet right now, based on the information that I have, that would probably be my front runner for the diagnosis.
All right. What about an aneurysm? Could that happen in your abdomen?
Yeah, those are not quick recoveries. That is an absolutely life-threatening condition, that is definitely something that I would not expect a quick recovery from.
I thought they only happened in your brain. Like I was, you know, that was kind
of. Yeah, aneurysm is kind of a generic term for expansion or swelling in a vessel.
Oh,
so that can happen really anywhere we have vessels. There's common areas, but that's not a real quick recovery. So I'm thinking gallbladder. It could have been an appendix, but again, I've heard reports. I'm not sure if you guys had any reports on that not being the diagnosis.
We don't know yet. They're being cagey with us, Doc. You don't want confidentiality.
Case,
all right, one other one, Doc. Jalen Hurts, after a horrible game, was seen wearing a boot, which we would not give an indication that he was still having a lot of trouble with the ankle. And now we're even hearing that it's not out of the question he could get surgery on the ankle. What would require surgery on an ankle injury, Doc?
Well, this is a tougher prediction here. They've been extremely tight-lipped with his injuries. He's been really tight to the chest on his interviews that he's given with this. There's two major types of injuries that we're probably dealing with. One is the high ankle sprain, which early reports suggested was his diagnosis after his initial injury in November. More recently, I've heard specific language used to say that this is a low ankle injury, which is kind of the more run-of-the-mill, you know, ankle sprain. When we think about ankle sprains, you know, most of us think about low ankle sprain, which is on the outside of the ankle. Three ligaments can get stretched or damaged. Generally, that's a non-complicated recovery, somewhere between 1 to 3 weeks, maybe 6 at most. But because he's taken so long to get better, he could have a complicated injury in addition to the low ankle. So sometimes when you sprain your ankle, the whole ankle kind of joint shifts out of place. You can have damage to cartilage. You can have a bone bruise. There can be some tendon damage. So if he's got a complex low ankle sprain, that could become surgical. Those are the ankle sprains that don't get better as we expect, pretty low percentage. Or he could have one of these high ankle sprains, which I know we've talked about on the show before, are a much longer recovery, much more complicated set of ligament damage that's not as common. But we see it a lot. You know, I look back at his mechanism. It was a little tough to tell on the footage that I had access to which mechanism was more likely to cause a high versus a low.
I think
we're dealing with we're dealing with either a high ankle that's going to need surgery, like a stabilization, or a complicated low ankle.
Doc, if I came to you today and I said my feelings were hurt, would you prescribe a painkiller?
I absolutely would prescribe a painkiller. Sure. You know what's a good painkiller? Watching the end of the Cowboys game.
Good one, Doc. Good one. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, NovaCare, for the great input you're providing.
And thank them for all season with providing the doctors for us, which is great.
I don't know. I had the gallbladder. Mm-hmm. Mine was gangrenous. I was in no danger.
Right.
I was in pain, but I was in no danger.
Well, would you have been ready 5 days later to play a football game?
I would not be ready 5 years later. I am ill-equipped to play athletic events.
Correct.
I'm here to criticize others.
Yes.
And will now resume that with my friend Eagle Shirley. Uh-huh. Hi, Shirley.
Hey, good morning, family and friends. Hey, Jonesy.
Hi, Shirley.
Shirley, who are you angriest at right now?
Be honest with you. I'm angry at Nick Sirianni for sitting out those players last week as if they was golden boys that didn't need no practice, that didn't need to ramp up their game, as if they was going to come and play this game as if it was a playoff game. They was not ready at all, from coaching both sides of the ball. You talking about special teams. You talking about regular. Like Merle said, muffing up the Dak on ball right there, giving it back to him, giving them a chance to score again. Defense tried to get it together, but after a while, they like, listen, we can't stop them if y'all keep turning the Dak on ball over. The best picture that I saw yesterday where Rager was sitting on the side by himself. I said, that's where you should be at, and that's where you should be, by yourself and alone, because it don't make no sense for y'all to come out there and play dull football. Y'all was not playing, and then you got 12 men on the field. What is going on? They was not ready to play no playoff game. They thought it was game week 19, like we had another regular season game to play.
I got to stop you for 1 second because I completely forgot this, but Rhea pointed it out to me during the game, Cheryl. There was a disagreement between Devontae Smith and Jalen Reagor.
Mm-hmm.
No one has clarified what that was yet, right?
I mean, Smith was yelling at him.
I was very closely watching that, Shirley. Here is my speculation. Reagor ran the wrong route on something and screwed up a play that was destined to go to Smith. Reagor does nothing right, Shirley.
Yes.
Why is he in the game? Why?
I'm surprised. I'm surprised when the ball keep going to him in big moments. I'm like, what is Reagor doing? Why are they throwing the ball? Why are they calling the plays for Reagor? And what happened to Jordan Howard? Why do I keep going and getting away from these guys that's powerful? Like, we like Miles Sanders. Don't get it twisted. We like him. But at the end of the day, when this man get hurt, you bring in Jordan Howard, you bring in Boston Scott, they get the job done. Then here comes Sanders back, and boom, what are we doing? He went side to side, he getting stopped, he going back. I'm like, get him out the game too. Like, what are y'all doing? And then what up with these penalties? Jason Kelsey, we love you to death. What's going on with all these penalties? They was driving us crazy. When Jalen Hurts did have a good drive going, it would get called back because of penalties.
Well, the refs were really brutal. I got a whole sequence I want to play on that. But, Shirley, all in all, you are not in a position on the Monday after that game to say you enjoyed this season, are you?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
They could have helped us. They could have helped us by not losing the way they lost. You know what I mean? It's Jones, and you know this as a former hockey player, if you want to lose, you better put your best effort out there and say, yeah, we left it all out there on the table. The Eagles didn't leave nothing out there. They left question marks out there. They left on offense, on defense, who shouldn't be back, who shouldn't coach coming back. And you're talking about this man got some coaching gigs coming up, some interviews. Who want to interview Gannon? Who wants to interview him for what head coaching job? You can't even be a defensive coordinator for the guys that you do have here on the side. You don't even know what plays to call. You don't even know when to do pass rush. You don't even know what to do when the time calls for it. You're just standing there. And I hate when they show him on the sidelines looking like he's 12 years old. Dude, at the end of the day, you my defensive coordinator? No, I'm sorry. Lori, I'm sorry. Y'all got it wrong. Y'all got it wrong this year, and it showed all year long. The slow starts, no points in the first half, and then we want to try to come back in the second half and do something what we should have done in the first half. I'm sorry. Y'all did this all year long, and we supported you. We love you. Just because we're getting on you, for me, I'm talking for me, Eagle Shirley, I still ride it out for my team, but when they deserve it, they deserve it. And they deserve it today to hear from everybody how they feel and how they mucked up the whole day on season.
Tremendous job, as always, Cheryl. I love you. Thank
you. I love you all. God bless.
All right. Now, she mentioned this Jason Kelce. There were two holds against him. One was bogus.
It was bogus,
but it was part of an entire weekend of terrible decisions by the refs. And we wanted to put a few of these together, and we wanted to end big. Because the Cowboy game ended after they lost with the refs getting thrown debris at them. And Dak Prescott, this is not part of the package we're about to play. Dak Prescott, he endorsed the throwing of debris at the refs. So anyway, why don't we listen to some of the awful calls that the refs made in the first round of the playoffs.
Burrow tries to keep it alive, scrambles. Throws it back in the end zone, but was he out of bounds first, or is it a touchdown?
The result of the play, touchdown.
Was certainly an erroneous whistle. Terry, anything replay could have cleaned up?
Once they've ruled him out of bounds, it's over. What they should have done, because it was an erroneous whistle, was actually replay the down because it was a loose ball in flight. They can't have a touchdown on that play by rule.
Pass is incomplete for Tyler Johnson. Actually, Breshad Perryman, and a flag is down.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer. Defense, number 96.
And instead of third and 10 because of that low hit. Yeah, you can't go low, but come on. He pulls up, didn't hit him with much force at all. I don't agree with the call. A big call, too.
Got her. Lot of room to run. Takes it inside Tampa territory and still going. Flag on the play and out of bounds at the 30 is Goddard.
Holding. Offense, number 62.
It looked like Kelce may have grabbed him. I don't believe that he did. Mike, what do you think?
Well, it's one of those where it sets up where it looks like a hold, but he doesn't really get a grab there. But from this perspective of the officials, it looked more, I think, of a hold than it really was.
Scott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
Hey, well, they'll be able to talk this. They were planned for it. It's down. Oh, my gosh.
The official gets in the way. The game's over. Gosh. The game is over.
People now throwing stuff on the field. That's not good. Stay classy, Dallas.
Good luck.
They were pelting the refs with debris. What a weekend for those turkeys.
Poor Tony.
215-592-9494. We're going to get a lot of answers to our questions as we come back because we got the best in the business. Ray Dittinger is up next. WIP Sports Time, 750.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.